I'm on the air, Carolyn.
Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here alive.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me the pig.
Here it is, Monday night. It's Monday night. Get your nights together. Now, I had my first experience on the road with the Toronto Argonauts, as you heard last week, and didn't get a chance to, recap what we did down there. So we'll play some interviews and stuff that we did in regards to being on the road. Later on today, right now, coming home from football practice, is Liam Howe. He's going to be our guest when he arrives and gets a chance to chill after football practice. Liam and his dad, Bill Howe, are devoted CFL football fans, directly enamored with the Toronto Argonauts. Now, last week, along with us, they didn't come on the bus with us. They found their own way to Guelph, and they watched the Argos lose to the Hamilton Tiger Cats for the second time in a row. But then on a more pleasant and better note, Liam and Dad traveled to Winnipeg to experience, and I do know that John Granger and I are envious that they had the opportunity to go see that spankin' new stadium, which may not be so spankin' new, but they had a chance to go watch a football game in Winnipeg in their new stadium, and I'm sure Investors Group Field was a great experience, one that Liam will share with us. We'll ask him as well what it's like to fly in an airplane with the Toronto Argonauts back to Toronto. I don't know if he went there with the Argos, but he definitely came back with the Argos, because anybody who is friends with his dad, Bill Howe, knows that he took pictures of the Argos on the airplane. And also he had a chance to have a field pass before the game, and he had a chance to rub elbows with Argos and get some pictures taken with them. And to say the least, it was one of those experiences for, I think he's 12, for a 12-year-old that are memorable for a lifetime. And it will create an imprint on his life. Thanks, Bruce. I'm glad Bruce John Inch is listening. Bruce is an avid Ticat fan, and let me see, what message is he sending? Argos suck. Oh, yeah, that's usually what he says. That's usually what he contributes to the program and to life as a CFL football fan. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. As long as he's a CFL fan, he's always welcome on the program. And not only that, I consider all CFL fans wonderful. It is the game that I truly enjoy. It is the only sport that you're welcome for the props. It's important to understand that being a CFL fan is different than any other league in the world. It is the only league in the world that guarantees that a Canadian team is going to win the championship. That in itself makes it worthwhile. And having these, these barbs crossing from down the the QEW between Hamilton and Toronto is awesome. I enjoy it. You know, as long as, you know, we don't make it personal, it's all good. You know, we've got a lot of fans who have a lot of pages in Facebook. One of my favorites is on Facebook. If you got a chance, you can join. There's a couple that I've joined. The Double Blue, Toronto Argos fan club, the Red Black Nation, the Baltimore Stallions, CFL fans, Bring CFL Football Back to Ottawa, CFL players and staff, AFL, CIFL, UIFL, CPI, CFL, another one. And basically all these groups, especially CFL, is the best football. I get a kick out of following those pages and those groups, because there's a real CFL flavor to what they talk about, and it's great. I truly enjoy anyone who promotes the CFL. I may not agree with them, especially when they're Ticat fans like Bruce. I mean, I can't agree with half the stuff he says and does, but I really don't care. What matters is that he cares about, you know, the Ticats in a way that I think the Ticats deserve to be cared about. Do I disagree on how he comports himself? Absolutely. But that is neither here or there. I'm a free thinker. I believe we all have our own opinions, and we all express them in our own way. As long as we remember that it's only about a game, and it's all in fun. So it really was disappointing for me. Let me start by showing the sportsmanship that I'm talking about. I PVR'd the Hamilton-Montreal game. I'm not deleting that thing for a while. I'm going to be watching that game a couple of times. I don't know what I like about that game, but there's something about that game that I totally enjoyed. It was just incredible. I totally enjoyed that game. And I'm going to keep it on my PVR because I'm going to play it from time to time, as long as need be. And, of course, along with when the Argos win the Grey Cup, so I'll be able to replay that as well. I don't know if that's true, Bruce. I would never kick anybody out. If I understood your question correctly, I would never kick anybody off the air for being anti-Argos. I mean, we have Mike, otherwise known as Manasseh, Minnesota Mike, on the show all the time, and he's taking runs at the Argonauts all the time. Sometimes I think I got to stand between him and nobody has to stand between him and John. They can take care of themselves. Having said that, we also have Rob J. Emery, a good fan. And I reached out to Lori a little late, but we'll see if we can get Lori on as well. Today I'd like to talk about the experience of being a fan, whether it be Hamilton, Ottawa, Montreal, Guelph. the Argos, of course, at Rogers Centre. And all the Western teams as well, of course, being Vancouver, British Columbia, and, of course, the two teams in Alberta, Edmonton, and Calgary, and, of course, the one in Saskatchewan, where the home of this year's Grey Cup is located. And that in itself is great. Saskatchewan fans, he wants to talk about the security at the Rogers Centre. Were you one of the guys that got kicked out? I'm just wondering. While he posts on Facebook. By the way, if you want to message me on Facebook, you can do that. Candid Frank Live, Stan Ishii is my last name. And you can give me some messages, and I will give credence to what you have to say, regardless of what it is. Look, I'm even willing to repeat what Bruce John Inch is saying. Oh, they were your buddies? They were your buddies that did that stuff? Well, that's not nice. Well, yeah, I was walking by the lower bowl. We're in section. What section are we in again? I forgot what section we're in. 324B? Is that it? I've had a rough couple of days. What can I say? 304B? Yeah, 304. I don't remember anymore. What section am I in? Here, hang on a second. Let's see if this will remind me. You know, let's take a short break. I obviously need to shake my head a little bit. But, you know, aside from that, let's...
To be honest with you, I'm not very satisfied with the way that the Argos played tonight. I mean, Caleros had a couple of
better
passes, long range, than he did in the past couple of games. However, he didn't do that fourth quarter Tebow magic that we're so used to him seeing.
He does it on the road.
He does it on the road, buddy.
Thanks, Jay.
No problem.
Shut up. I got an interview to do. What'd you think of the game? Say your name and your opinion.
My name's Margarita. And the game was amazing, but they fell short. Unfortunately, on the road, they did great. Four games in a row on the road, but when they come home, I really don't know what happened. But exactly. But we still got to love the Argos.
No matter what.
And on the 14th, when we go to their house, we will kick ass.
We're all getting on the bus.
That's right. No doubt. We'll be
there. What'd you think of the game?
It was like a very interesting game. It was my first time.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I love football.
You forgot to say your name.
And my name is Samantha.
Samantha, congratulations. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pitches are great. Doug Lewis.
There you go.
Frank's assistant.
Yeah. He's a monopod for Frank.
I'm the monopod for Frank, yeah.
By the way, that means that I had my horn sitting on his head.
That's right.
So what'd you think of the game? Did you notice any of it?
It was great. The whole game was great, except for the last, it was 10 minutes or something.
You can't hide it from me. I saw that thumbs up in the Hamilton direction.
No, they were getting drunk and disorderly. Oh, I just calmed them all down.
Okay,
I just said you can't hate people. Hate's a strong word.
Hate's the wrong way to go.
It's the CFL. It's only 18. How can you hate anybody?
That's right. That's right.
I learned from your TV show, your radio show. So,
You're going to blame me. You're going to blame me.
No, I'm saying I learned from that. There's only 18.
There you go.
Appreciate all of
you're missing one off your back. And I go, oh, well.
And thanks for inviting me.
It was meant to come to you.
What?
Your name and the game. What'd you think of it?
I'm a Ticat fan, and I think I still...
Liar.
I still think as a Ticat fan, my Ticats suck, and the city of Hamilton is a good city, but as a Ticat fan, I really don't like cheering for the Ticats, and I wish that I was more like a real good Argo fan. Like, the Argo fans are great here in Toronto. I wish there was more like them, and...
And they should all have beards.
Only if you say so, Frank, but as a Ticat fan, I got to say, as a Ticat fan, I still truly think my Ticats suck. And hopefully one day they're going to become better. Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm trying to convince Bruce to be on the show. Right now I got... Oh, who's this on here? Let's see who this is. Oh, this might be somebody I need to talk to. Let's find out who this is. Hello and welcome to Candid Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. Who's this calling?
Liam and...
And is that?
Oh, okay. Liam and Bill are calling. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, thank you for the call. I would have called you. There's two ways to do this. If long distance LA is a problem, I always am willing to call people. But since you called in, just so you know, you're calling Los Angeles. Just want you to know that.
That's okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, good. First of all, how do you like your pictures I put up? Did you see them, Liam?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It's amazing.
I didn't think there were enough pictures of Liam on there.
Yeah. You never get enough.
They were all I had that I could use. We've had a good run in the past short time with the Toronto Argonauts. With the year that they had last year, needless to say, and now this year. First of all, let's talk about how you began to be an Argo fan, both Bill and Liam. Liam, you go first.
First. I have no clue. Well, I think maybe because my dad has grown up as an Argo fan, he decided maybe he should bring his son. So I think that's how it started, but you tell me, Dad.
Now, am I correct? Liam just told everyone in the world he's clueless?
Well, that's something I can't believe he actually said, because I know better.
Oh, I know better as well. No, I've been an Argo fan. I remember the Argos before Leo Cahill, so I go back quite a few years. But yeah, my father brought me up as an Argo fan, and his father brought him up as an Argo fan. After World War I, my grandfather used to come go to the Argo games and the Grey Cups at Varsity Stadium, and I think at the time they parked their cars around the field.
Yep.
And when nightfall came, they put their lights on. So it, I think my dad was going since the 1930s with his dad. So it's a long,
wow.
I think, four generations of Argo fans here.
Okay.
That was the math I just did. I just wrote that down. Liam's a fourth-generation Argo fan. And as a fourth-generation Argo fan, which came first? Here's my question. Did playing football or watching football come first?
I think watching football.
Yeah, so
Liam,
the watch...
Liam's
ahead,
12, and he's only been playing 5 years now.
So that's, you're testing my math again. So he's been playing since he was 7?
That's right.
Yeah.
Watching since earlier than that.
All right, so you, Liam, it sounds like, had the same kind of life I had with hockey. I used to watch hockey with my grandmother when I was like three or four years old. And I used to sit on her lap, and she loved, and your dad will know this name, but you probably will not. She loved Frank Mahovlich. And she used to send me flying off her lap whenever he got the puck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
I know what it feels like to have, you know, that... When you're born into a sport, it's almost like you don't remember not being a fan. Is that a fair statement, Liam?
Yeah, it is such a fair statement. Because feeling from me.
Now, here you are. You love watching the game. You just came from practice, as I mentioned to some of the people that were paying attention earlier. You were at practice. You're on your way. Your practice ended at 8 o'clock, and I guess you just made it here at this time to be on the show. Thank you for coming on, first of all, both to you and your dad. So now you're now football is your life right now. You must be peaking at football when you consider where we are in the season this year. Last year at this time, we were in the midst of the Argos turning things around. This year, if they turn things around or when they turn things around, it'll be a little later than it was last year. Is that a fair statement, Liam?
Such a fair statement, too.
Now, define for us, help us to understand your perspective as a young Argo fan and what you enjoy about the game and being a part of it.
Well, it's a great part to be watching the game, and it's just good to see the Argos winning for the first time. Like, from last year's perspective, I was just happy that we were putting out a winning record.
Yes.
Now, Frank, Liam is a pretty spoiled boy. I was 27 before the Argos won a Grey Cup.
Well, you were in the midst of that same era that I was in, that 31 years of, you know, the Argo bounce, which is defined differently today. It seems the Argo bounce now is a totally different thing than it used to be when we were a bit younger, Bill.
Oh, that's great. That's correct, And that new book that's out is, I had a chance to read it a couple months ago, and that's an outstanding book called The Argo Bounce.
Bouncing Back.
Bouncing Back, that's right.
Yeah, we had the author on the show. We had the author on the show a couple of times.
Outstanding book. It really brought back memories.
Yeah, I keep disconnecting with him. I'm supposed to meet him. He's going to give me a copy of the book, which I appreciate. So I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But having talked to him, I know how detailed he was in that book and how he recorded a lot of interesting, you know, it's not just about the scores, the games, the draft, and all that kind of stuff. There's, in behind-the-scenes information that makes it, that fleshes out the kind of team and league the CFL was at that time.
Oh, yeah, it sure was, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. The other Argo book I read was written, if you can imagine, it was called Goodbye Leo.
Yes.
It was written by Neil Young's father, Scott Young, and Leo Cahill. And I was fortunate enough a year ago to get Leo to finally sign the book.
Oh, yeah.
When they had the 71 team back for the game.
The 71 team... by definition, wasn't successful, by definition.
But it was fun.
Yes, but it was the team that defined the Argo bounce and how devoted the Argo fans were in spite of the lack of winning by, you know, the team.
Well, that was well, it's interesting because we went to the Grey Cup that year and we lost to Calgary.
Yes.
And Retribution was had
this past
last
Grey
year.
Cup. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well,
there are
for those that don't
long
for those
cycles
that,
in this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're for those that don't know, the infamous Leon McQuay fumble just in the red zone, which eliminated which was the first knife in the heart of Argo fans in that game. It wasn't the last one. It was also the one that the ball got kicked out of bounds, you know.
Harry Abox.
Right? And so, you know, but everybody remembers because, I guess, a fumble in near the end zone is far more memorable than something that happens on the sidelines. But the Argos still could have won the game after that infamous fumble by Leon McQuay.
Well, fumble wouldn't have happened if Tricky Dicky turned left rather than right on the interception return. He would have got in the end zone. It's still painful to me, Frank.
Ugh, I'm glad.
Well, you know what, Liam? At that time, put I'm from 54, so in 1966 I was 12.
Oh yeah.
So if you can imagine, I was growing up in that era that the book is talking about. I was growing up in the same era you're growing up with the Leafs, where there seemed to be a long time between victories for the Maple Leafs in your era, the Argos in my era. The Argos didn't win a Grey Cup until 83, and that was 31 years after their previous Grey Cup.
Yeah, but I'm not the best of Leaf fans.
No, well, I wasn't trying to draw any interest.
It's fine.
I wasn't trying. I was just trying to draw a parallel that at your age, your dad and I were following a team that really didn't know how to win. I mean, we came close, and everybody loved the team. The irony is, Liam, that more people went to watch the Argos that played with less success than the ones that come today to watch a team that, in my mind, is probably one of the more successful, runs that the Argos have had.
Yeah, it's painful right now seeing only 20,000 people in the stands when we have a great team. Like, I think we're third in the CFL. Mm-hmm. And we just can't find a way to get people to stands. But we can't win at home, so that's probably why.
Well, Liam, I think you understand why it's hard. Let's talk about your ability to get to the games. This year, and I don't know, your dad can either vouch or agree or disagree, but to bring youngsters such as yourself to games, there have been so many weeknight games, Tuesdays, which makes it hard. The scheduling has made it harder for people like you to come to the game.
Yeah, I know. The Jays are not going to win, so why don't we just swap?
Frank, I made the observation to Liam the other day. I don't know why we can't share the stadium. It seems to be always available in October.
Yeah, you know what? What we have to do and what Liam has to do and all Argo fans have to do is resign themselves to the idea that the Sky Dome is not going to, or the Rogers Center is not going to be the place where we're going to have our success and or our team, period. We have to start looking at a different place, as far as where we will be seeing our team. And hopefully it'll be a place, Liam, where we'll be able to watch games on weekends.
Yeah. It makes it more fun when you're, it's a Sunday or Saturday. It makes it more fun when it's a Labor Day, not a Tuesday after Labor Day. When we play Hamilton, we'd rather on Labor Day.
So in all honesty, and this is something that's factual, it's not really easy for you to go to games or your friends to go to games on the days that were scheduled this year. It was very difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I can...
I know how everybody feels, but I think most people just like, speaking of my class, for instance, I'm really the only Argo fan.
Now, is that like, is that because, why do you think that is?
Hockey.
Everybody loves hockey. But
yeah,
do you think, but don't you think at your age, if everybody knew a little more about the Argos, they might be a little more interested?
Yeah, I think so, but nothing's happening. Like, we need to get, like, Rogers or something to, like, own the Argonauts, not, like, a single person. So you can get it on TV more times and on commercials more times.
Or, like, So you understand that so what you're saying is that we have to get the Argo name out there, and we need people with money owning the team that can put the name out there.
Yeah.
Or people that have vested interest keeping it out there.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And not eroding the interest.
That's right.
I got you. Okay. Listen, on a less serious note, I saw you in Guelph, the visiting game against Hamilton. That must have been a real thrill.
Yeah, it was.
Tell us about it.
Oh, go on.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it was a real thrill to see the Argonauts play the Ticats, but it came down to the last minute, and I would much rather see it get caught or more than an interception. So, but it was a real thriller.
Yeah, you had a good time at that game. Now tell us what was good about the game, beyond the game itself and the score. What did you like the most about it? Just being there for your Argos?
Yeah, like what they bounced back, like Edmonton almost. They bounced back in the second quarter, not second quarter, the second half, and almost pulled off a victory.
Yes, they did almost. Now, I got somebody here on the phone. I'm going to try and get him to come on the phone. A young guy named, everybody's young as far as I'm concerned. His name is Bruce John Inch. Now, he's a guy that is a total Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, and he's not a big fan of the Argos. Are you, Bruce?
Not bad, buddy. You got me.
How you doing, Bruce?
Good, man. Yourself?
Not bad, not bad. I'm here with Liam and Bill Howe. They're Argo fans. Liam's a 12-year-old Argo fan who's been around for a while. We were just talking about the game in Guelph, and he said he enjoyed it, right? Liam, you enjoyed the game in Guelph.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, that's that we got the fans coming out to support Guelph this year, you know. Hopefully he'll be able to get out to the new, I'm still going to call it the new Ivy Wing, but everybody else is calling it the Timbit Field when it's built. And hopefully we'll get them coming down the highway and supporting their team. Because that's one thing I'll say. I love the CFL. I know I choke the Argo fans a lot. You know, nobody blows like an Argo. We all know that. But you got to respect their fans for making the trip out and, you know, going across Canada and supporting their team.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Liam.
Oh, like, I think it's a real tradition to go out to the games and to respect the other person. Just as I was in Winnipeg, like, they'll act nice if you act nice. So, like,
oh, yeah, that's right. I just like chirping the Argos, you know. I got nothing else better to do during my day, so that's what I live for.
The opposite.
But, you know, in the other retrospect, I'm a diehard Maple Leaf fan. They haven't done anything since the day I was born, May 2nd, 1967. So we can blame that all on me.
But it's
good to have a rivalry, you know. Just like, you know, like the Leafs have Montreal. We got the Argonauts, you know, and then there's the Western teams that have their rivalry. It's going to be interesting to see when Ottawa comes back in, who has the bigger rivalry. Us and the Argos, or us and, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know.
I don't think it's any different than it is this year. The CFL is great because they're all Canadian teams. Right now, the Argo fans, us Argo fans, had a lot to worry about with the two games that we lost to Hamilton. But the way Hamilton lost to Montreal, it pretty much opens up the East to anybody winning and going to the Grey Cup. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it sure does. You know, like if once we win the last two games and once the Argos lose their last two games, then we'll be in first place, right?
Oh, yeah.
I just had to throw that in. But I honestly don't think the CFL cronies, like the top-notch guys, the Mark Cohans and all that, they don't want an Eastern final in Guelph. Now, just for the sole purpose of how many people can you actually fit in Guelph and how many people can you fit in Toronto? So it would just be financially reasonable to have it in Toronto and then have the Eastern or the semi-Eastern in Hamilton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Toronto will finish up in first, you know. I bleed black and gold, but I also talk in kind of reality sometimes.
I think the biggest problem that Hamilton has and Toronto has is that Montreal might win and get home field advantage for the Eastern Final and help the Argos finish first. And help the Argos finish first. And I really think this the new quarterback is incredible. I happen to think that they've got a good one. They've got a good one in Troy Smith.
Yeah. He played excellent, man. He stood up and did his job. You know, I'll admit, we went into Montreal, man, and we looked flat right from the get-go. And I can't express it enough. Like, I go on, we have our own fifth quarter show on the Rick Zampin show, CHML, if you ever tune into it. It's on every Cats game after the fourth quarter. And even the fans are saying, like, we have to stop these useless, dumb, selfish penalties. You know, that's what's killing us.
That's killing us too, right, Liam?
Oh yeah, that used to be a whole lot worse. If you remember, I think was it 2010 that we had like last place in the penalty department.
Right. I know.
Okay.
But what can you do?
Yeah, let's talk about the experience at Guelph. The reason I wanted you in here, Bruce, is. First, we'll let Liam define what his experience was. Was it the first time that you were in Guelph, Liam?
Well, yeah. It was my first time in Guelph, but not to see the Ticats play against the Argonauts. But it was an amazing game.
Let's talk about Guelph first. As an experience for you, as a young fan, how would you define the experience there?
Don't really know. It was amazing to see how many showed up to that game, and really like the experience to see them play at a college stadium. It was pretty nice to see that.
It wasn't as the reason I was asking is because in my opinion it wasn't that much different than watching the game in Hamilton. Yes, it was by virtue of how many fans, and that's why I wanted Bruce to call and talk to Bruce. Bruce, what's the difference for a Ticat fan watching a game in Hamilton and then going to Guelph?
I think the main thing is just travel. I didn't get season tickets this year. I've been an avid season ticket holder, but I didn't get them because of what the Ticat upper management did to us fans this year. I don't know if you were aware, but we were promised in 2011 when they came back in 2013 we would get the same price and relatively the same seat that we had in 2012. And
in Guelph?
No, when the new Tim Fields built in 2014.
Oh, you're talking about next year then. You're talking about next year.
That's right. But if you had season tickets in 2012, you were promised the same price in 2014 that you paid in 2012 and the same seat relatively to where you were sitting now. When Guelph came into the picture there late last year, because they didn't even know where they were playing until Guelph stepped in because they had their controversies with McMaster University down here about the parking and the congestion. It just went on and on. Like, I went to city hall meetings, everything. And the upper... The cronies just couldn't get their stuff together. And Guelph finally stepped up, thank God, and said, okay, you know, we'll welcome you into our home. And right when they did that, the Ticat organization came out with a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 thing. Whereas if you renewed in 2013, you're guaranteed exactly what they guaranteed us before, the same seat and same price range. But if you did not renew, yeah, you can have the same prices, but we're going to move you up 10 rows, or we might move you to another section of the stadium. And there was a lot of us, I'd say a good 40% to 50% didn't renew just because of that reason.
Well, you know...
But I have been to five games in Guelph, and I love the atmosphere. I love having it actually in a smaller stadium because it just feels more energized when things are happening.
Well, that's the problem we're worried about here, some of us Argo fans. We concern ourselves with the stadium that we're in just doesn't suit the circumstances and, you know, basically the atmosphere of the game for the fans. It's not.
Well,
Liam,
I've heard a rumor,
Liam,
and you might be able to clarify this, but I heard that the Argonauts don't have a home to play in next year.
No,
is that
not true.
Or is
That's not true. That's not true. They have another year. It's I think it's 2015. But regardless, it doesn't matter. The clock is ticking, Bruce. The Argos have to find a new home, just like Hamilton did. Well, Hamilton didn't go find a new home. They just, you know, plowed theirs down and started over, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're looking for a place to relocate. So, Liam, you were pleased with the atmosphere in Guelph. You've been to Hamilton, so they were comparable. How would you compare the two experiences?
I think the two experiences, like Guelph, I think will be a little louder because it was squeezed in. Because Ivor Wynn, don't remember, like, it was that loud the last time we went.
I think because the Argos were kicking their butt around the field, that was so quiet.
I think you got that right, Dad. It's amazing how us Ticats fans shut up when we lose.
You sure do have a big mouth when you win, though.
Absolutely, buddy. Oski wee wee. But it's all fun and games now that, you know, I've listened to your show and you sound like an upstanding guy, so I won't chirp you as bad anymore. But, it's all in love, you know. We
love
just
Hamilton.
Don't like the Argonauts. But come after the season, I'll go golfing with you.
Well, here's what we're about, and that's the CFL. And that right now I think we guys, and I'm referring to Liam, Bill, and you, Bruce, as well, right now the challenge this year and last year has been the atmosphere in which CFL teams play, not conducive to promoting the game, I think. So I think once we can get the Argos in a stadium that is more suited to being a football stadium, if I can use that term, for a football atmosphere, once Hamilton has their new stadium, you know, I see things even better next year than they've been the past couple of years. Would you guys agree? Starting
Absolutely.
With Liam? Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Brute. Liam? Bill, you want to pipe in too?
Yeah. There's a couple games this year that it was quite good. I think the Saskatchewan game, we had a pretty good crowd and it was quite energetic. I think when you get enough people in that stadium, it's a great football stadium.
It's awesome.
When Hamilton, we played Hamilton last, they came down to QEW and we had a pretty good crowd there, and it was approaching what it should be in Toronto.
Yeah, but Bill, what do we do? If we can't get a decent date at the Rogers Centre and force ourselves to play games or to try to go to games that are inconvenient, you know, that drives down the numbers of people that, you know, the walk-in. That's usually, you know, most football games, that's worth another 5 or 6, maybe even as many as 10. You know, people that come because the game's on and they have time, it's on a weekend or it's on a Friday, it's convenient. We'll go downtown and then we'll go to the football game, or we'll go to the football game in the afternoon and hang out downtown. You know, that doesn't happen right now with the way the scheduling that we've been, you know, basically handed by the Blue Jays, to be honest.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. And that's not going to change until we change stadiums.
And that's what I mean when I say, yeah, exactly.
And just to clarify, the contract they signed takes them out 4 years, but they have an option to leave after two?
Yep. I believe you're correct. And John's on the phone now. John Granger's on the phone as well, and he can help clarify that.
How you doing, guys? Well, I'm going to help you out there, Bill. It's till 2017, and then they can, after 2015, there's an early exit clause anywhere between there. They can They can get at it if they want. Right. So nice to hear everybody, and especially Liam. I'm not forgetting you either, Bruce. It's kind of weird hearing you on the radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
We only see writing messages from Bruce. But, Liam, way to represent. And I didn't catch the first 20 minutes of the show. I had a problem linking up. But I imagine you had a great time. And it looks like you brought us good luck.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And Frank, unfortunately, it's hard for Liam to compare Guelph as a big deal because he's been to so many games in Hamilton that kind of outweigh it. Now, I got to tell you, Bruce and the rest of you people who go to Guelph each game and got to put up with that traffic, never mind that ride,
yep.
You know, it's not a big deal drive, you know, getting there, but that traffic out of there, I mean, I you know what, I was telling the people on the bus, I said, these fans here, you got to be a fan if you're going to drive through this every freaking game. And the stadium, you know, it's like a sardine, okay, guys? I've been in more comfortable, portable, temporary seating than that place had that game. So, but I got to give props up to the Hamilton fans for going out there every single time. It's good to see. And I got to give props to Bill and Liam to making a trip out to Winnipeg and showing the colors out there. And did you guys get rattled too much by the Winnipeg fans?
No. They're actually really nice.
You know, Bill, I got to tell you, I know what the weapon is, and the weapon is Liam. You bring a kid like Liam, and they never say nothing bad.
Yeah.
He came home with their paraphernalia. They wrapped him in a scarf and made him an honorary bomber fan.
Nice.
That's what
CFL is all about, right? Right, Bruce? CFL.
Absolutely.
Love, right?
Absolutely. You know what? We made the trip out to Moncton this year, and that was the best game I went to all year.
It's
you know,
really nice when you guys go and represent, you know, your teams, and it just shows that, you know, there's passionate fans out there that really care about their teams here in Ontario.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it was nice talking to all you guys. I'll give you one more Oski wee wee, but I gotta fly. And all the best in the playoffs, and we'll see you in the Eastern Final.
Looking forward to it, Bruce.
Good luck to you. Good luck. I hope we see you in the Eastern Final, Bruce, because, I mean, that was scary, guy. If I were you and, not, you know, looking at your team at 5 points, I think the only team that you guys get pumped up for is us. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that, too. You know that, too, Bruce. You can see it. I mean, they were flat, buddy.
I'll give you that. We were flat. But I guess the next real test we're going to call it will be Saturday when we face them again.
Bruce, before you leave, just know this. If by chance you guys can't beat the Alouettes, and we know we're going to beat the Bombers this Thursday, it's a big party at Chula's Joe's afterwards. We're celebrating the win already, okay?
Okay. But know
this, that if Toronto plays Montreal in the last game, sorry, bud, we hate you so much as a passionate fan that we will be cheering for the Alouettes.
I'll make you a site, boy. I was going to say, I would make my Facebook profile picture. I'll tell you what, when we do meet you, or how about this weekend, when the Bombers beat you, you got to put a Facebook picture of the Bombers flag as your profile picture. If Montreal beats the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I'll change my profile pic to a Montreal flag.
Bruce, hang on. I got another caller. Let's see what he thinks about how the Argos are going to do this weekend.
Okay, buddy.
How are the Argos going to do? Who am I talking to here? Who else just joined us?
Jason Pottinger, linebacker from the Toronto Argonauts. How you guys
doing?
Oh,
I see.
Jason.
You mean Liam's friend in Winnipeg.
That's it. He brought me in as firepower.
First of all, this isn't a crank call. It really is Jason Pottinger. Welcome to the program, Jason. We were talking about young fans and stuff like that. I don't want to talk about football. I just want to talk about being an Argo. We all love you guys, and we all respect the hard work that you do in the community. But tell us how you feel about kids like Jason. It must be refreshing to see the younger CFL fans, especially as a local guy. You know how everybody talks about the fans are all old like me. Not like Liam. What do you think? What do you think of that, bud?
I think it's great. And it truly is the next generation of CFL fans. that's going to keep the league thriving. And, you know, the league's in a great position right now, and there is a great young following. I'd say, you know, 15 and under, there's a growing number of young fans that are showing up to the games and becoming diehards, and they're the ones that are going to take the league to the next level.
Your organization, like many organizations in the CFL, are trying to you know, work on expanding the grassroots. You have your football promo. Now I forgot the name, but I could play the interview I did. Not grassroots football. Tackles for Toilets that you do,
yep.
Which is the charitable part, and also the Argos help support bringing in new high school football teams. All that kind of stuff. The word is that really the best football fans are people who played when they're younger. So with the growing atmosphere that we have of football, it bodes well, I guess you could say, to the growth of the game, don't you think?
Definitely. That's definitely an obvious linkage right there, right? The more kids that are playing football, the more football fans there's going to be. And I think it's definitely it's great with the Argos having that program where, you know, we've brought back three or four high school football programs now. And,
Runnymede, one of
it
them.
Just show, yeah, and it just shows the kids that we care, and we do care. Because, you know, I was fortunate enough to get 1 year of high school football in there. And for me to imagine, you know, a kid going their entire high school career without a football team, you know, and them wanting to play football for their high school, it's a shame. But it's tough because it is an expensive sport. Equipment's not cheap. And you need the right people that are willing to run the program. So the Argos definitely help out with that. And, you know, you're right. It's breeding new fans.
Liam is a football player. Liam, do you have any questions of Jason as a Canadian who, you know, went through the whole system that was high school, local rep football, then university, and then drafted to the CFL? Are there any questions you have in trying? First of all, I guess I should ask, Liam, are you hoping to play in the CFL?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I like that attitude, buddy. Great attitude.
Thank you.
Well, we got that great picture of you and Jason in the Winnipeg Stadium, and I tagged it two Oshawa Hawkeyes, one in the CFL and one on his way to the CFL.
Nice.
That's because.
It speaks to the league. I mean, we were really lucky to get field passes before the game. Danny, the equipment manager, who we flew out with, was nice to give us the tour of the stadium and give us field passes pregame. And so we kind of strolled around the stadium, and one by one, the Argos came over and greeted Liam warmly and you know, took time out of their pre-game stretches just to make sure that he was comfortable in the stadium. And how cool is that?
It is.
Class act by the Argonauts. Jason Pottinger, John Granger here. Listen, I got a question for you. Now, that you see what a good luck charm Liam is, don't you think it's a great idea for his dad to bring him to all the rest of the away games for the rest of the season? And the only away game that we're going to have to worry about, is the Grey Cup, right? So, don't you think it's a great idea to have Liam there?
I think that would be an awesome idea. And
cha-ching.
You forgot you might be worried about that semi-final in golf, too, you know.
We're going to the semi-final.
Okay. I don't know about that one.
We're coming first in the East.
Let's not talk about that. Like I said, I didn't invite Jason on to talk about the season. I want to talk about Jason and his experience as a young football player. We have a young football player and fan here today. Liam, how good does it make you feel to know that players like Jason and really they honestly care about you, the fan? How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel really happy that a person that is really, like, gets, this is their job, and they don't really need to do this. it makes me feel really happy that they would take further time to come over and do that.
So in other words,
it's definitely my pleasure because you're taking the time out of your leisure. You know, you've got a bunch of choices of what you can do with your leisure time, and you're coming out to watch CFL football. And so that's, you know, I appreciate that. And it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for him, Liam, that you would like to ask? And looking ahead, because you did answer the question and you did verify that you would like to play in the CFL, is there any question you'd like to ask him that Jason could share because he's been down that road already?
Jason, how was your young years of the Hawkeyes?
I loved playing for the Oshawa Hawkeyes. Some of my best childhood memories are you know, playing with the Oshawa Hawkeyes, traveling around to the different Ontario cities with my parents. You know, my parents typically drove me to the games and you know, getting to know the boys. A lot of them I still keep in touch with today, and you know, these are guys that I met 20 years ago. So it's created lifelong friends and. You know what, the coaches that put in their time with the Oshawa Hawkeyes, I still keep in touch with some of them. It's just basically, it's what you don't realize now is that you're creating lifelong relationships. And it is definitely something that you don't realize when you're young, but in 10, 15 years, you're going to be surprised how many of those people you stay in touch with.
Oh, cool. So,
it's amazing. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, you can go.
No, okay. I was just gonna add and say that it's amazing that when you share a passion like football, because it's obviously a passion for you, Liam, if you're playing and also, you know, following the team. I guess what Jason's saying is pretty easy to understand because you're all there for the. You all want to be there. Yeah. No offense to school. I love school. I think school is great. It's a necessary thing. But in all honesty, the experience of going to school and the experience of playing football. You really do want to play football, and I'm not saying kids don't want to go to school, but the passion of the game makes it easier to make those lifelong friends, doesn't it, Jason?
For sure it does. And you're right, like school's very important. It's the combination of the two. And, you know, being able to play 1 year of high school football I transferred high schools to play. And, you know, I met people there. I only met them that year and played with them one season. And, again, you know, still friends. And this is 12 years ago now. So
almost like a second family.
That's it. Something about football, it just creates lifelong ties, lifelong bonds.
It is teamwork, and you do really – it sounds crazy, and it's not even silly. You're in the trenches together. You know, it's like going to war together, and – you got each other's backs, and that's stuff that's hard to forget.
Exactly. That's it.
Liam, you got any other questions? Jason's a really busy guy. Do you have any other questions for him?
I don't think so.
Bill, as the father, Bill, let me tell you this. I know both Jason's parents, and they are salt of the earth. His dad is awesome. Very supportive, both the parents, even today. You would think he was still 12 and they needed to go to the game to bring him there by their attitude. Bill, how long do you think you're in that mode? Because you really do have to be a dedicated parent, and what motivates you?
Well, I take my own history from football. I played high school football, I played rep football, and I went off, played some university football, and now that I'm in the business world, I think this much of my success in the business world lends itself back to the lessons I learned from football and school, the combination of the two. The teamwork, like you say, the teamwork, the relying on each other, the maybe bigger lessons learned when we lost games than when we won games, and I see that as a huge building block for, you know, young people's self-esteem and so what I want to do is give Liam the opportunity to get these great experiences and to carry them on through his life. So he's a young man. He's 12. Soon he'll be off to high school. But I think we're going to follow him along the way, and off to college and that sort of thing. So we're really looking for kind of the roadmap to help him succeed not only in school and sports but in life. And I think this is a great route to take.
I believe that Jason would be the first person not to say that he has all the answers for someone going down that road that you're going down. But Jason, do you have any or Bill even, do you have any questions of Jason of how to maintain the steady supportive nature that you have? What are some of the, you know, is there a question that you have of him that might be able to help you to understand better the experience and how to handle it since Jason's been through it?
Well, we were lucky enough to meet Jason's parents last year when we, at the very last second, chose to go to the Montreal playoff game because we thought an upset was in the making, and we took the train out, and sure enough, his parents were there, and we had a great chance to talk to them and to get some understanding of what it takes to be a parent of a young person that goes the distance. And so, I've got so much respect for parents, like you say, Frank, that constantly provide that support, and particularly for elite athletes, because elite athletes require more
dedication.
Dedication. You may provide personal coaching. Extra schooling, because I don't think university is going to be an opportunity if you don't have the academics behind you as well.
It goes a little further than slicing oranges for practice.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's, we've got to keep in mind that the academics aren't up. It doesn't matter how good a football player you are anymore. You're not going to go to university.
There you go. And yep. So Jason, what are some of the things that allow your parents and you to have that? Because there must be a form of consistency. I don't even know how to explain this question, to maintain a normalcy of a childhood and, being a 17-year-old when you're a 17-year-old, being a 15-year-old when you're a 15-year-old, because you do have to grow up fast when you take up elite sports, don't you?
Yeah, you do. But, I mean, I think it's something that helps you grow up, you know what I mean? My parents were awesome, and they were always there for me. They supported me more than anybody else in my life by far. They never missed a game, and sometimes some years never missed a practice. You know what I mean? This is all while my dad's, working hard, and my mom's holding everything together and also working jobs as well. But the thing that football brings to the table is it's almost like a whole nother set of parents, right? So when my parents weren't around at practice, I had these other individuals to look up to, and I remember times when I was young that I didn't necessarily make the right choice in practice, or I just chose to maybe not practice as hard that day. I was feeling lazy, and I had somebody else kind of pushing me that extra distance. So it forces you to grow up that much more quickly, just because you're constantly being disciplined and pushed to be your best. You know what I mean? You're always getting pushed to take it to the next level. So when you're at home and you're with your parents and they're pushing you to be the best in school, trying to help you succeed in life, you're going off to football practice, and now you've got these extra parents that are pushing you to be the best on the field and pushing you to, take your bodies out of your comfort zone and push it to the limits, to the point of exhaustion where you're ready to keel over and puke. So I think it's just such a great combination to have, very supportive parents in life and then good football coaches to go to on the practice field. It's like the ultimate parent-guardian combination right there.
So I guess, so if I can interpret that, if I understood, in essence, your parents' opportunity to put you in the right environment when it comes to each developmental stage, so that they can pace themselves as far as what they got to do to help you, to the certain extent that life in the big picture, as opposed to worrying too much about football, get you in the right environment so that they can concentrate on the other things that football doesn't take care of.
That's exactly it. And, I mean, you know, parents are going to have a tough time getting you to push your body to the physical limit, right, to get you to push
over that threshold.
Or the right
way. Or the right way, Jason. I mean, we all have our expertise, and we all have to understand there are things that we don't or aren't experts about, and we need to delegate that authority. So really, the biggest challenge for Bill and parents like Bill is when they put their kids through football, because now girls are playing as well. So let's not, you know, being Pink Month and all, or Pink 2 weeks in the CFL. Let's remember our ladies, they play football as well. So the environment that you place your children in when they're playing football, it's more important, rather than you to worry about going there every week and checking out what's going on or telling them what to do, it's more important at the beginning to make sure that you put them in a place that will, you know, take care of your children from within in more of a way that you would appreciate, in a professional and, you know, almost parental-like way. At the beginning, and then you can take your step back and let them do what they know to do and what their strength is, so that you can be the parent and guide your children once they leave the football field or when they get onto the football field in between. So, yeah,
exactly.
Thank you for that advice. I don't know, Bill, does that make any sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. Just on a side note, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Did you always play at an elite level, or were you a late bloomer, or?
When I started when I was 9 or 10 years old, I did start in the house league that they have in Oshawa. I'm not sure if they still have the house league, where they name all the teams after like the CFL teams, like the Stampeders, Rough Riders, Argos.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's still like that.
Still the same.
And then so they had that in the early summer, and then they would have the rep after that. You could do both. My first couple of years, I remember just doing the house league at the younger levels. And then after that, I started just regularly going out to the, the actual, I guess you could call it the rep team or whatever. I'm not sure if it's the same kind of setup.
Yeah, it's
but,
the same.
It is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, I mean, I more or less kind of spent one year just kind of in the house league, and then branched off into the rep after that when I was about 10 or 11.
Okay, and when, I guess around age 14, when you physically grow up, did you find your game changed as you became more of a young man?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I was maybe an early bloomer. I was kind of a big kid and grew pretty quickly. So, you know, I was kind of slotted in as that running back, linebacker type. And, I would move up a level a year early because I weighed too much I don't think they do it too much anymore because of health concerns, but I remember running around a track with a garbage bag on trying to lose a couple pounds so I could make the weigh-in and play with my own age group.
Oh, okay. So they don't have a weight limit anymore?
Yeah, okay. I thought they got rid of that, yeah.
Yeah, Liam played against a player that was 300 pounds a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
12 and under league.
Yeah, and see, that's what they were trying to avoid before, but I get why they got rid of the weight limit, because it did encourage poor behaviors, like trying
to cut,
you know, 5-10 pounds in a couple of days, which isn't good for kids. You know, it shouldn't be good for anybody. But, overall, I felt like I just progressed, at the usual pace.
Okay. Thank you.
Liam, you have a question?
Don't think so.
Well, figure it out. Do you have a question or not?
I said, I don't know.
Okay, I'll ask a question for Liam. How easy is it to be a football player because people recognize you and, you know, how sometimes we, the fans, whether we be pro or anti-Argos, how we behave when we see you? How do you deal with that, Jason?
I mean, I love it. It's what I live for. It's part of my job. You know what I mean? To not only be a good football player, but be a good person off the field. And I'm a people person. I feel like I'm pretty personable. So I just enjoy it. You know what I mean? And you know, some guys, it's not for them. They're not as outgoing, and they don't necessarily feel the same urge to go and talk to people, but I'd say for the most part, everybody, puts in a good effort to go out and meet the fans and get to know people that are coming out to watch us play. And I just personally enjoy it. I enjoy meeting the people that come out and cheer me on and cheer the rest of the team on. It's nice to know some of the faces that are sitting in the crowd behind us while we're beating the crap out of our bodies.
There's also people behind the visiting bench, you know.
Yeah, there is. That's true.
That's us.
Gotta watch out for those Ticat fans.
I know a lot of the Ticats fans quite well because I went to McMaster University. And
there you go.
You know, I spent a lot of time in that Ivor Wynne Stadium. So there's a soft spot for the Ticats in my heart, although I still hate them.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
I got a question for Jason.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a tie catch.
I do. In all serious. Now, do you think when you go into an opponent's field, like you go into Ivor Wynne, and us fans mm-hmm. really get on to one player, like say your kicker or a Chad Owens, say, do you think we can actually change his game? Can we get to a player that much?
I don't really think so. And I honestly believe sometimes you might actually you might change his game, but you might make it better.
It works both ways.
Yeah, okay. But I mean I don't see it working negatively as much because at this point, you know, all the guys are pretty used to, you know, being harassed by fans and stuff like that. And they don't really get nervous, you know what I mean? We're not going out on the field thinking in our minds like, oh, crap, well, now I can't screw up or else that fan was right, you know what I mean? That's not what happens. If anything, it makes you angry and makes you perform
motivated.
Better because you've got that, yeah, you've got that little extra edge of just, I guess, anger in your mind, thinking about what that fan said, and you use it on the field as more fuel.
I was only
referring to getting involved with the noise level and getting in the ear of the team of the offense because you're screaming and yelling and then therefore, for example, Ricky Ray can't be heard, so you have to do it a different way. You know what I'm saying? In that way, the loud stadiums do have an impact. Listen, have you got another couple of minutes?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the CFL means to the community, more than just the football, but how they contribute to the well-being in different communities and different areas, like schools, charitable donations, and even, as Jason does, contribute internationally, ironically, with someone from Hamilton.
Yes.
Do you want to be
heard? Okay, just before you go to your break, I got to go.
Shut down? Come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two, three. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There you go, Frank.
Thank you.
You see, pretty girl saying your name, there's always an upside to doing a radio show about your favorite sports team. Jason, let's talk a bit about some of the stuff that you guys have got going on. One that's not well known about is the White Ribbon Campaign, which is violence against women or violence against people in general, period. One of those contributions the Argos have made, it's something that started in BC that the owner brought here to Toronto. You were there at that press conference. Why is it so important for people like the Argos to talk about such subjects?
The Argos players, a lot of them are role models for young kids, and the younger generation, they're more easily influenced. And if the proper things are preached, from these role models, and the younger generation is able to listen and hear what they're saying, they'll soak it in. And so I think it's not necessarily only what you're saying, but who you're saying. It's the combination, who's saying it. It's the combination of the two that really creates the power of the message. So I think it's great that the Argos take on these initiatives and help to influence the younger generation positively.
I agree, and it is difficult. It's much like when you get in the limelight, if you will. It's like standing in the pocket with onrushing defenders. So I can see what that feels like. Yeah. Oh, I have an idea. I have a little idea what that feels like. Yes. Uh-huh. And you know what? But that speaks to your commitment that you guys. You got Joe Appel doing stuff. Adriano Belli last year did the Sick Kids. It's not just about being famous. It's about it really is about taking your known value, the commodity that is being known, and using it for the good of the community. It's something that I think more than any other league, especially if you take by the size economically of the CFL compared to other leagues, financially speaking, the return that you guys give the communities far outshines any of the other leagues. Why is that?
I couldn't pinpoint it on one particular reason. But I think it's just the way it's always been. It's part of the CFL culture, and nothing's going to change that. You know what I mean? No matter how much you know, in the future the players make, or, you know, how much the salary cap goes up, or how much the TV deals go up, which is all happening. Nothing's going to change. The attitude from the players towards the fans and vice versa, and the relationships between the two will always far exceed the other leagues, because that's just the way it is.
The Argos and other CFL teams need to be congratulated on that, and I've always admired, you know how I feel about it, Jason. You know, I really admire the work you guys are doing, Joe Appel and company. Take, for example, we talked now just about the White Ribbon campaign. There's the Tim Hortons, along with the Argos, level the playing field. You referred to a few new high school teams that used to play high school football, but because of whether it be waning interest, time of the teachers, or economically possible to have a team, some teams are coming back to playing football. That must do your heart good and make you feel good.
For sure it does, definitely. I've gone out to a couple of those schools and watched the kids play, and to see the smiles on their faces, it's there's not many feelings that make you feel that good, and that's I'm hoping to go out to a few more schools over the next couple of years.
I know you will. And then there's the subject, one of your leaders, a young guy named Pinball Clemens that used to play football many moons ago. I don't know if anybody remembers who Pinball Clemens is.
Love him.
There you go.
Kind of rings a bell.
Kind of rings a bell. And he has his thing where he builds schools in Africa. And you, and remind me again who in Hamilton is working with you on the Tackles for Toilets.
His name is John Smith. And Tackles for Toilets isn't its own charity. It's really just a charity event in support of Connecting Countries Adopt a School. Which is basically run by the charity president, John Smith. It's based out of Hamilton. It's a bunch of good people that donate their time to the cause out in Kenya of unsanitary latrines that need to be replaced, or the schools are shut down by the Health and Safety Board. So we basically use Tackles for Toilets as a fundraising event to help fund the construction of latrines out in Kenya, and we also use it to help local kids as well by getting people to donate the ticket that they purchase towards a Toronto youth that's at risk. And we send this year we sent over 90 kids from the Toronto area to the game, and they had a great time. There's an article on the Toronto District School Board website right now. If you Googled it, it'd probably come up. Just Google Tackles for Toilets, TDSB.
And this is something, it's an annual event now. Are you going to make it an annual event?
Yeah, this was the third annual, and it just continues to get bigger and better every year.
Well, so while it's not on the front burner, if people want to get involved, what it involves is people buying tickets and offering them to high school students.
Yeah, or you can buy the ticket and attend the game yourself. You have the option, but for those people that can't make the game, or if they want to purchase a few extra tickets and donate those and still attend the game themselves, then, you know, there's just the option. You have the option to do either. And basically, you can, you know, come next year, you know, keep checking the Connecting Countries website. That's connectingcountries.net, and you can just keep checking that website for, you know, the Tackles for Toilets date, and it's typically a Toronto versus Hamilton game in Toronto.
Yeah, which is a big game every time.
That
so
it is.
So it's a lot.
Always.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to take part in that. Now, also, we have programs that you may not be as well versed in, like Huddle Up and the bullying program. The Argos are anti-bullying, and they spend a lot of time. Joe Pell, specifically, your buddy, joined at the hip.
Yep.
Spends a lot of time in schools talking about bullying. Big guys like you saying that bullying's no good must hit home, no?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we're all big guys, but at one point we were all small guys, and we've all been bullied. You know, I know Joe had, you know, experiences where he was bullied. I had experiences when I was bullied, you know, back in grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, and not good memories. It's, you know, fortunately I grew up quickly So, you know, my bullying days came to an end. But for a lot of kids, that doesn't happen. And it carries on throughout high school. And, you know, sometimes even after high school. So it's an important issue. And I think Joe does a great job during the season and in the off season to address these issues at the local schools.
Yes, it's important that people understand that in sports, you know, there are a lot of people, and to touch a sensitive subject, isn't a big reason why football players care so much is because many of them have had a tough road to hoe, unlike you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
Is it not true that part of the reason why football players seem to be so concerned community-wise, even to the point of being very religious, because many of them, especially our American friends, come from environments that are less suitable to having a good life in the future?
I kind of get what you're saying.
Well, they come from a tough background. Many a football player fights the good fight, right, to be a decent human being, and football it helps elevate them out of that, and they feel grateful. And they feel grateful because what football has helped them to accomplish, that they want to share that. Maybe that's what makes them different. You know, I don't
for
know.
Sure.
Almost
for
like
sure.
Without football, their lives would have been different.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying now. And you're right. You know, like myself, I don't even know, you know, like I don't even know what having a rough life means, really, you know, compared to some of the guys that, they do come from rough areas, and you're right. And there has been some guys that have come through, more than some guys, quite a few guys that have come through the CFL that you know had different childhoods, and they do a great job of not only going to, you know, local schools, but also sometimes going to local prisons, or not prisons, but, you know, youth detention centers, and speaking with the young kids that might already be in a little bit of trouble, and they. Their message really gets across because they, you know, they came from you know, a similar kind of a similar frame of mind, you know, having a rough life and maybe making poor decisions because of that. So you're right, yeah. And football did for a lot of them kind of help them rise up out of that and you know, make something of themselves and become productive citizens in society. So. There's a few guys on the team that their message really hits home with the young guys because they're truly speaking from experience.
Jason,
yeah, life,
Johnny, sorry, Frank. Jason, does it make you step back a little bit when you hear the other guys' stories and upbringing? Because your parents are just awesome. Your mom, Annette, and your dad. I mean, we saw them outside the Guelph game. They were videotaping everything that was happening beforehand and all the activities. That's just awesome support. And when you hear the other guys that come up, that, you know, came up through the tougher part of life, you step back and kind of realize that, you know, you must appreciate them even more when you hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's it is something that that kind of reminds me every once in a while, you know, just how lucky I've had it. And there are some guys that, you know, didn't have a father or didn't have a mother or didn't have either growing up and you know, didn't grow up with much financial opportunity or, you know, the finances to, you know, get those opportunities that most other kids have. So it is kind of a constant reminder of you know, just how good I did have it, and it does make me, you know, just kind of rekindle that appreciation deep down inside for what I've been, you know, kind of privileged to have growing up.
And to be put in a position, where it's an equalizer for everybody on the team. You're both. It doesn't matter where you came from. Once you get on that field, you're all one part of the whole.
Yes, exactly. That's true.
Bill, do you have another question before we let I'm done asking Jason questions. Bill, do you have one?
Just on your charity,
How long has that been running?
Well, the charity event has been running for 3 years now. But the actual charity, Connecting Countries Adopt a School, has been around for close to a decade.
Okay, okay. And you fold that into Pinball's program that he implements through Free the Children?
It's not at all connected to MPCF.
Okay.
It is a complete separate entity. But Pinball's foundation was kind enough to donate some funds towards Connecting Countries Adopt a School a few years ago. But it is a complete separate charity.
Okay. Our family, the Howe family, were actually in Africa last year with Build a School program. And so we saw the good work that your programs with sanitation are doing in those villages.
Awesome. I'd love to go out. The charity president, John Smith, goes out once a year to check up on the builds and take pictures and make sure that his people over there are still working hard for him and that every cent that he sends over is getting used in the most efficient manner. So maybe one of these years I'll go out and join him.
Well, we can attest to the fact that is a life-changing experience to do that.
I can imagine. I can definitely imagine.
Okay.
Jason.
Jason, I'll throw one out. Jason, just want to ask you, are we going to see you and the parents at Shoeless Joe's celebrating the after-game party once we clinch first place
on
Thursday? Are we going to do it, Jason?
I'm not sure about this Thursday because, my dad will probably have work the next day and stuff like that. Thursdays
your mom's
are
available.
Take
a net.
That's true.
We'll take one.
Yeah, maybe
one
the net will go.
Okay,
but,
done. We'll see you there, Annette.
The following game is on a Saturday, right? So maybe after the Montreal game on a Saturday.
There you go.
Okay, good enough. All right, we'll see you then.
Thanks, Jason. I'm more concerned, Jason, with waving you at the tarmac on the 22nd of November when you head out to Regina.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
All the best, buddy.
All right. Liam, do you have a question in any regard? And a thank you to Jason for posing with you so that I could post those pictures of you and we can all see how wonderful you two look together.
Well, actually, I regret to say that Liam, after his two-hour Oshawa Hawkeye practice, has
fell
just
asleep
crashed.
At the phone. Oh, okay.
He's,
well, as John Granger will tell you, people who are on the show here usually do tend to fall asleep at some point.
He's actually over the jet lag from that flight back with the Argos.
I bet.
Yeah, he was partying on the plane with the Argos all the way back.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I just wanted him to get his question in. We've got a new person calling in. I'll open the mic. Who are we talking to?
Arch.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I got two of you here. I got Rob. I guess, Rob, you're one of them, right, Rob?
Yes, sir.
Did you have a question for Jason? So have you got a question for Jason so he can leave? I'm giving everybody an opportunity to ask him a quick question so that he can get his rest. You know, he's a busy man.
Yeah.
Practice.
Jason, quick question for you. When you were playing at McMaster, did you guys have any foundations going on there?
We didn't have any specific charities that we consistently helped out with. We just kind of we did whatever was kind of put on our plate. You know what I mean? We consistently went to all the grade schools within the area. We were always at grade schools in the area, just talking to the kids, and we would visit the McMaster Sick Children's Hospital quite frequently. We were just kind of all over the place, and whatever the community charity event or whatever that was going on that needed a little bit of help, we would be there to bring our muscles and do some grunt work if need be.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because McMaster was just down here in Ottawa this past weekend,
And the equipment manager for McMaster is a good friend of mine, so we did a lot of hanging out in that, eh? So it was a good thing to see McMaster actually here, you know, especially with the equipment manager who I was the assistant equipment manager for the Ticats in 2006, and I haven't seen him since then, so it was good to see him, you know? And, yeah.
All right, who do we have left that hasn't asked a question?
I don't have a question, but Jason, I'd just like to say thumbs up on your charity work there, buddy, and we'll see you November 17th.
He's hey, listen, Jason. Bruce. Bruce,
yes.
before you go, thank you for calling in. I know you're a tough Ticat fan, and you know your favorite two words in the vocabulary are Argos suck.
Yes, sir.
You know,
two favorite are Oski Wee Wee.
There you go. I thank you for asking Jason the question and keeping it clean. I really appreciate it.
You know what? After the game, everything is everything, man. But when we're playing together, you know, it's like I told Chad Owens last year. I saw him walking in Iverwood, and I stopped him, shook his hand, chirped him all game, and I shook his hand after the game. Same up in golf with Buck Pierce too, before and after the game, you know. Because you got to give them props, man. They're out there putting their life on the line every play. You know, you never know when they're going to have a bad day. And but for Jason to do all that charity work, man, thumbs up for him, buddy. And we'll see you guys on November 17th. I'm going to let you guys go, and I'll be sure to tune in next time, Candace. Have a great night.
Yeah, we will.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Jason, it's getting late, and I don't want to keep you too long. Thank you for taking the time to listen to some of the questions that our young fan had. We're very happy to say that the Argo Lifers in Section 134B, are always happy to support you guys, and we really appreciate the job you do on the field and the job you do off the field even more. Thanks, Jason. Well, I guess Jason left already. There you go. All right, so I still got three people on here. Who's Facebook?
Yeah, that's me, Frank.
How did you become Facebook?
No, I called in through Skype.
Oh, you called in through
Mike?
Skype?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mike. You sound
what's
great,
up,
buddy.
Mike?
Hey,
you
what's
sound
up, man?
Great.
What's going on, bro?
Yeah, what's up, man? Well, what's I don't know. I guess I missed the early part of the show, but did you guys talk about what happened on Sunday?
We haven't talked football at all. What we talked about, we can do that now. We talked about until now was basically how CFL football players, in particular Jason Pottinger and other Argo fans, interrelate, like fans go on the road. We had Liam Howe, a 12-year-old who plays football, who's thinking of trying to make it to the CFL. We talked about basically, just to summarize, for those of you that missed the program till now, it was a program to do less with the scores and the stats and the CFL teams and how they did this past weekend. It was more about what makes football, you know, a community sport, if you will, and why it's so important to me and others to have a CFL team in our community.
Oh, okay.
All right, so, but we've got about 28 minutes left. This show began a little early. I posted it on your Facebook page so that you would know that we were starting early. We got about 28 minutes left in the program, and there's nothing wrong with having a little discussion about what happened on Sunday. Mike, in your mind, what happened on Sunday?
I think Montreal just found their next franchise quarterback.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah, wow.
I was just watching that game, and he was just, like, tossing the ball left and right, making this, rushing this, running that. I was like, damn. I'm like, Ottawa's going to have some good picks when they get their team in December there.
Is this where I get to do my Don Cherry and play back what I said the last show?
If you want.
No, I don't want to. But let's be honest, and Mike knows this better than anyone, and he's promoted this idea. Even when Montreal was losing, Montreal has had a decent defense forever this season. They've always had a decent defense. Their problem has been the quarterback position. Coming out of the gate early in the season, the plays that Anthony Calvillo was running he wasn't happy with, you know, and ever since then, the quarterback has been the biggest thorn in the side of the offense of this team, the Montreal Alouettes. This weekend, we saw an example of what happens when they have a good quarterback. But I'm not surprised that Montreal beat Hamilton. I wouldn't have been surprised even without him being there. You know, I happen to believe that that Hamilton went in there with a little bit thick heads, and Troy Smith took advantage of their, you know, I don't know, they really thought they could trounce Montreal. Montreal changed their mind really quick. It didn't help the surprise factor with them losing to Winnipeg. If you remember, guys, I told you the game against Winnipeg was an aberration. And it definitely was. The question now is, can Montreal follow that up in Hamilton, in Guelph with Hamilton in the same way? Do you think so, Mike?
Yeah, I really do. I you know, in my article that you read about the, you know, the rise and fall
the dynasty
of Montreal. At the end, I said, like, you know, maybe Jim Popp might have one more trick up his sleeve. And Troy Smith, to me, was a real revelation on Sunday. I mean, the stuff he did, and for a guy in his first start to have 200 yards and three TDs by halftime, that's really scary because, like you said, their defense is fantastic. And I think Montreal is going to run the table. They're going to get the number two seed. They're going to beat Hamilton in the first round, and they're going to give Toronto a real run for their money in the East Final because that's a championship-caliber team right now.
Well, I you're preaching to the choir because that's what I said to you last week or at least a few days ago. That's a reality that I can see happening because when you look at the difference, the problems the Argos are having in relation to the problems Montreal were having, the problem with the Argos right now is as a unit they're having problems. That's a lot harder to fix than a single peg that is very influential on the team. Do you know what I mean? Not just Ricky Ray that's the problem with the Argos. Their defense has not been very consistent. Their offense has not been very consistent. It's not because of anything other than they don't have enough healthy bodies. Now, having said that, if all their players that they have, their best players, are available and ready to play, they will give Montreal a run for the money, as will Hamilton give Montreal a run for their money. This has turned into a real toss-up as to who will go to the Grey Cup. What do you guys think?
Is John or Robbie there? Or they?
No,
they
it looks like, no. I guess John. Oh no, John dropped the call. What do you think, Mike? Maybe John will call in again and give his opinion on the rest of the season. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's interesting. Like a couple of weeks ago, we all thought the East was a foregone conclusion that Toronto was going to run away with it. But seems like out of nowhere. Oh yeah, you were the one saying that Hamilton and Montreal are still there. But for me, I thought it was done. But now that they're back, you're right, and that's really scary, man. I thought the Argos were going to get to the Grey Cup for sure. Right now, actually, I'm pretty worried about it because we saw what Hamilton can do, and now that you know. Montreal's finally got an offense. I don't know, man. And the Argos have looked out of sync really for the last couple of weeks. And since that four-game win streak on the road, they just haven't looked like the same team. I don't know. What do you think it might be?
Well, you know what? Let's take things in perspective, okay? Let's put a little perspective here. You've got Toronto, like you said, comes back from being on the road and then gets thumped twice by Hamilton. Okay, fair enough. That means that Hamilton, wow. You know what I mean? They stepped up, right? And now they move to the forefront. Then while that's going on, you watch Winnipeg beat Montreal. And you say, well, it looked like Montreal was going to be maybe giving at least Hamilton or whoever finishes a tough game, right? They're not going to win, but they look like they're going to give them a tough game. And then they played Hamilton and turned Hamilton into dirt. I stand on what I said all season and what I said a few weeks ago. The league, and that's the beauty of this league, a team's fortunes can turn on a dime, you know, because the game is so explosive. Like CFL football is, you get two downs, not three. So, you know, you really have to be humming. Your offense has to be working because if it isn't working, you only got two downs to sort things out. If you don't have a running game, what do? You pass.
True.
If you don't have a passing game, what do? You run. But when you only have two plays, you're not going to surprise anybody with what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So, So, you know, you're going to go to the well that you're strong at. And you know what? I love the CFL. And now it's just proven that, you know, when you get, you know, when you get a quality quarterback, your fortunes change instantly.
That's
you know?
True. Yeah.
You know, Burris turned back into the Burris he was before, you know, in Montreal. You know, he wasn't the Burris that played the Argos. I'm sorry. You know, he wasn't passing the way, you know, he was against the Argos. I think it went a little bit to his head, and he did a little freestyle, you know. He did a little freestyle. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe me, if you notice, the other quarterback was brought in.
Yep, at the end, yeah.
So, let's be clear. It's really easy to criticize an individual team, but as soon as you criticize them, they could find the solution real quick.
Yeah. I think for the Argos, too, all they need is just some rest. I mean, like, if they clinch this week, I think they just give a bunch of all their key veterans, you know, the time off and let the guys heal up a bit and just rest up. I think come playoff time, they'll be ready to go. Because they look kind of worn out to me. Like, they just look tired.
They are. And you know what? The emotional standard that they need to, you know, that they need to achieve right now is not necessary. Let's be honest. This isn't part of the important situation for them. They don't need to rise to any occasion, especially with Montreal beating Hamilton. Next week it's going to be even tougher for them to get their game up because they may think that they don't even have to win because Montreal will help them out and it'll all be over anyway. You know, football is a very aggressive game and you have to be thinking aggressively. Listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back shortly, okay? Just give us a couple minutes. Bus to Guelph. Here we go.
Are you settled?
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta go get some people doing some talking.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done you yet.
No?
you gotta say your name.
Now, Mr. Frank, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, you gotta say your name and what you're doing.
Hey, this is Katrina and my husband Alan from Shelburne.
Lovely Shelburne, Ontario.
Say hi, Alan.
Hello, Argo fans.
We do realize that Shelburne. I was going to say that Shelburne is a place where somebody famous was born.
I've heard stories. Laura Secord? No.
Yeah, Laura Secord.
Or something like that. So.
I was going to say
it's not Omimi, which is the musician.
Yeah.
Not Omimi.
Right.
No, we're north of Orangeville.
North
of Orangeville. So we are diehard Argos fans for life. I met my husband when he lived in Lindsay, and I was a Torontonian, and we've moved to Markdale. And now, see? And now we're in Shelburne, and we still come to the game.
What's the other place? No. The one beside the old dealership. Beside the old dealership. I forgot the name of it.
Lindsay? Which part of the world were you referring to?
In Lindsay, off Highway 7,
yeah.
South of Highway 7, and at 35-115. There used to be a dealership there. I forgot the name of the...
I don't know.
Riverwood,
okay.
That's in Lynch. You guys going to give us opinion or what? This is before
the game?
We're going to do a before and after.
Okay.
And tonight is 1 o'clock. I'm going to put it on the air.
All right. Argos 38, Hamilton 14. Dave. From Whitby.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
28-17 Argos. John from Whitby.
There you go.
What's that?
We're going to go one more iPad for you.
I usually get paid for media interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Huh? You already got an iPad.
Oh, thanks.
Argos.
How's the game going to go today?
Blowout.
For Hamilton?
Oh, God, no.
No. Am I in the wrong place?
Did I say that out loud?
Might as well walk there.
Hey, Simi, you're pretty young.
What?
Argo fan.
Born as an Argo fan.
I told him I usually get paid for media interviews, so I won't.
Yo, man, here. That's right, we're part of the Foodies. Favorite player?
It all started.
I'd have to say their center. I'm not sure who their center is, but their center, because center is the heart of the team and protects the quarterback.
Yeah,
offensive line.
Center.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember his name.
Chad
Folk.
Chad Folk is the old one.
Backup. New guy they brought in.
But offensive line is the key. key to the winning of the game.
And tonight, this afternoon, actually.
Yeah. This afternoon.
Ricky Ray's back.
Ricky Ray's back. That's good to hear.
Let's hear it for Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky! Yeah,
I agree. Love you, Ricky. Oh, yes, we do.
You know what I asked him yesterday? Said, you going to grow your mustache for the playoffs?
And we'll
what
did
he say?
Through.
He said, well, that's kind of a Movember thing.
So he'll probably
be growing it. Because that's what I remember. Look, I watched the Grey Cup game again, and I have to say I was impressed.
Yeah.
Almost as much, actually, probably even more than I was the first time. So your favorite offensive center?
Yep. Whole offensive line. Whole offensive line. Who's your
favorite Argo of all time?
All time, Pinball. Doug Flutie, of course.
See how old age
can
be? Yeah. Well, let's try it on this.
Of course,
he's your favorite article of all time?
They're all great. I love them all.
Daryl Dancy, too. I would say Pinball and Mookie Mitchell.
Joel.
And Matt Dunnigan.
Yeah, Dunnigan.
Even though he wasn't here long.
Sorry. Pardon?
Even though he wasn't here long.
Still a god.
Yeah.
She likes Dunnigan for other reasons.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And what would those reasons be?
Be nice. Be nice. Yeah.
Okay, favorite Argo of all time?
Doug Flutie. Oh, no, wait, hang on. That's my husband's favorite. Mine is Paul Masotti.
Oh, very good choice. Local Canadian kid.
Gone but not forgotten.
Yes. I don't know why, but I really like the drinkers as far as the Argos are concerned. And I'm thinking Dan Ferrone.
Oh yeah,
well,
we met him. I don't know him as well.
Just got in the Hall of Fame, Dan. Yeah.
Dan's never met a beer he doesn't like. That's what I hear. Anyway, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I hear. That's the word on the street. Exactly.
That's not a bad. Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. I haven't met a beer I don't like either.
Back in 94, the Argos had a player that was from Lindsay High School, Carl Corker.
Oh,
offensive lineman.
That's cool.
We met him. Hey, he brought the Grey Cup to Lindsay. And he what, 99
as a Tiger Cat.
Carl Colter brought this Grey Cup to Lindsay.
As a Tiger Cat.
That's when.
This is the wrong venue. Discuss that.
No, I'm just saying that that's when we met him
the first time. All kidding aside, I'm a CFL fan.
Oh, there, exactly. So when it all comes down, first Argos and then CFL, I won't mention any names.
There you go.
All right, that was part of the bus trip. A couple of people that we talked to, I made some new friends, went with some old friends, meeting the Argo lifers, and had a chance to sit with some people that I didn't know. It was a wonderful experience. Mike, last week, any other surprises in your mind?
Well, I mean, for me, on a personal, just the Riders absolutely blowing the BC Lions out. That was awesome.
You know, quarterbacking looked good in BC, not so much this weekend.
Yeah, our defense looked fantastic. I was just so happy to see that. And the crowd was I've never heard that loud before at a Rider game. It was unbelievable.
Well, I think there was a lot of relief in the cheering.
Yeah, absolutely.
They feel real good about the team has turned around. I mean, it's tough to be a Rider fan because they expect so much. And it's hard for the team to rise up to the level that the fans expect them to achieve. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit difficult.
So, I mean, how do you see any, like, does your view of the West change now as far as how you see it playing out?
Actually, it's actually playing right into what I thought. Since the beginning of the year, I picked Calgary to be at the top. They've been the favorite since 5 minutes after the Grey Cup game. You know, they've been the team to win the Grey Cup this year since 5 minutes after the last Grey Cup. They've held true, and what I like about Calgary, above the difference I'll say between Calgary and Saskatchewan, Calgary's team has been a little more together a little longer, and also, you know, losing is not always a bad thing, and I think losing in the Grey Cup is a giant size motivator for that team. If they've got anything above Saskatchewan that's got to be it. I'm not a big fan of Travis Lule, and yet he's not the quarterback. DeMarco is not, you know, he's not, I wouldn't compare him to a Troy Smith. So as a, you know, as a new quarterback, I think he's done what he's going to do. You know what I mean? I think he's gonna be leveling off from here on in. He's not going to get there. There is no more upside for him, as far as I'm concerned. Not because I don't like him or think he's a bad quarterback, because I think he's a great quarterback. But I think he has reached his peak. Kolaros, I would have to say the same thing about him.
Ouch.
You know, no, I'd have to say the same thing about him by virtue of what I saw over the 4 or 5 games. He's able to win. The game that they lost, I wouldn't hang on him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Kolaros is in any way a bad quarterback. You're not talking to John. you're talking to Frank. And I think he'll be a great quarterback with experience. But what I'm talking about are the abilities and the skills that they bring to the table, not the mental part. You know, there's always room for growth mentally. But physically, I think we've seen everything DeMarco's going to throw at you. Physically, we've seen everything that Kolaros is going to throw at you without another season, another training camp. You know what I mean? For him to adjust, you know, big problems. And a big problem for him is long-distance accuracy. He doesn't have any. John's right about that 100%.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the guy in Montreal, Troy Smith. Does this guy have credentials? I think so. Oh. Only six players in CFL history have won the Heisman. And every one of them has been a pretty good player in this league. And he's going to be no different. And you see the speed at which that guy throws that ball. The ball doesn't even look like it's spiraling. Do you know what I mean? Like the thing, it looks like a heat-seeking missile. You know, he throws it on a rope and easy to catch, because there's no wobble on his spin. You know, he has the ability to be the next great quarterback in the CFL. Can I say that about Kolaros? Maybe. Could I say that about DeMarco? Maybe. But as far as the group of young quarterbacks that have stepped up in the CFL, this guy is for real. Troy Smith is for real. I'm concerned as an Argo fan that this guy is going to begin creating the reputation that he and others are going to look back at and go, "Wow, remember that?" You know, he's up there. He's going to be up there with the elite of the elite quarterbacks in the CFL, in my opinion. How about you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I was really looking forward to him playing this weekend, and I wanted to see what he would bring. And you know, we were saying before the year, you remember we were talking about like how once Cavillo hangs it up, you know, Montreal's going to go in the toilet, and it's going to be the East is going to be Toronto and Hamilton. I think that completely changed, and the East is going to be a real, real tough division the next couple of years, and it's going to be a real dogfight. And I think it's great that this year we're going to see all the Eastern teams solid, you know, in the playoffs for once, because no more of this Western crossover coming in and trying to shake things up. I never want to see another BC in the East final nonsense. You know, it's awesome to have Eastern teams actually be competitive and on top and doing something. So it's worth it and
be entertaining at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, so, be entertaining. The West has always had entertaining football. You know, the East historically, and you know, it's not that the East has veered away from it, eh? The East has always been the division with the good defenses. Argos, historically, great defenses. Offenses, not so much. You know, Montreal has had great offenses, but their defense this year is what's held them together. And Hamilton, as much as their offense has been awesome, without the improvements that were made with the defense, they wouldn't be a 500 team today.
That's true.
You know, what we're seeing here is Ottawa's going to come in. The weakest team in the East today is going to be in the West.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think that Ottawa's going to be any worse than I promise this. You know what? I'm going to make everybody a promise today. I'm going to make another leaping value judgment like I made this year, and because it is the CFL, I'm going to tell you right now that Ottawa next year is going to finish a lot better than Winnipeg did, which means there's going to be a battle for third place in the East next year. There are not going to be any passengers, because I truly believe that Ottawa is getting a real good opportunity to build a good team. They've had their management team together for so long, it seems, you know.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything last minute. The ownership is intelligent and understanding of what a winner is. The management team, I think, is going to be competitive with the rest of the management teams. And how important is management? How much did we talk about the fact that Montreal has pop? Doesn't matter what. They'll always have pop, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
And he just proved it again. And how did he prove it? He wasn't afraid to jettison a coach that he felt he made a mistake.
Yeah.
And how else can a guy say he made a mistake than erase that mistake? And then he took over the team. You know, so it's not he is a brilliant football guy. You know, the CFL right now has a lot of really good management teams out there, so much so that the teams that aren't, you know, don't have good management are very obvious. Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, exactly.
Edmonton.
Right?
You know, the rest of them, BC has no business being where they are. Come on, let's be honest. BC doesn't have their number one quarterback.
Yeah.
And we all know the CFL, you can't play unless you have a number one quarterback. So it's really, I don't know many leagues that can say that, you know, 6 out of 8 teams are run by great organizations, and they are. With Austin moving into Hamilton, does that guy have anything else to prove?
Oh, nothing.
In year one?
He's the coach of the year in my book.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I'd have to agree with that. I'd have to, you know.
Not because I'm a Tarcat fan, but he's done a great job.
He's done an awesome job.
Robbie, what do you think is going to happen next week between Hamilton and Montreal down in Guelph?
Well, I figure, you know what? Hamilton's home, so it's their win. They're gonna win it.
Okay.
They're basically playing for the home game, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All things, you know, there's only 2 games left.
So, Frank, you think the Argos are? I'm assuming you think the Argos are gonna blow out Winnipeg on Thursday, and wrap up the number one seed.
Here's what I'm gonna say. Depending on Montreal and depending on how a great tactician like Austin reacts to the loss to Montreal, really, Toronto's fortunes, doesn't matter what they do with Winnipeg, in my opinion. What's really more important is if Montreal beats Hamilton, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I happen to think that it really isn't important how Toronto plays Winnipeg. And by you hearing me say that, I think you can read between the lines. I'm saying that Toronto may or may not do that well at home against Winnipeg on Thursday.
Oh man!
If they don't have their listen, if they don't have all their players, and the way that game ended with Winnipeg, are you going to tell me that they're not going to come into Toronto with any confidence?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, except for a couple of bobbles, you know. The Argos wouldn't have left with a victory.
Yeah.
They did enough to win. They're a great team. I mean, I don't have to convince anybody that I'm pulling for the Argos, but I'm also a football fan, which means I'm not afraid to say what I really think. You know, this isn't a pipe dream here. The Argos will and can beat Winnipeg. I think they will beat Winnipeg. But they're going to have a hard time, just like Hamilton and Montreal are going to have a hard time deciding who's going to win their game. Those are going to be 2 pretty good games because Winnipeg, I'm telling you, the way they finished that game, you know, after beating Hamilton, after beating Montreal and then ending up in the situation they did with the Argos and still fight back and do some really good things, Winnipeg's, you know, they're doing their best. They're playing for their contract, right? They're playing for next year.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the coach is playing for next year. Or do you think he's already bit the bullet?
Who's that?
They said Tim Burke's probably actually coming back, and it actually has more to do with the fact that they're still paying Paul LaPolice and they're still paying Joe Mack for their contracts, and the team just simply can't afford to fire another coach
pay for his contract and then pay for another coach, the one they hire. So based
much,
on default, he's going to keep it.
How much on his contract does he have left?
Well, they gave an extension to Paul LaPolice and Joe Mack before this last season. So they both have 3 years for both of them.
What does Burke have?
Burke, I think, has 2 more years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
so I was
going
to say the best thing for Winnipeg would be to take Marcel Bellefeuille in as a head coach.
What are you, his agent?
Who, Marcel? No, I'm just saying.
Every job we talk about, Rob, it's always the same guy. Are you his agent?
No, I'm a good friend of his, though.
He's a good coach.
Even worse.
Very good coach.
Well, listen, guys. Yeah. The show's over, man. We can continue this on Wednesday, and you know you're always welcome, both of you, on Wednesday. I hope you enjoyed the program we did today.
I'll try to get Stephon Jones Wednesday.
I'll call him on Tuesday. We'll have him on Wednesday, so we'll try to have Stephon Jones on Wednesday.
All righty, guys. Take care. Nice talking to you, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, nice talking to you, too. All right, bye-bye.
Oh, nice talking to you, Mike, not nice talking to me. Jeez. What does a guy have to do to get respect around here? All right. Well, whatever it is, you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. My name's Frank Sinisi. The show is called Candid Frank Live, and the show is heard Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Today we did a special early start at 9 o'clock. You know, I'm thinking actually switching to an earlier time to get, you know, more people on the East Coast within their bedtime range. And, of course, Wednesday, but we will be coming back at 10 o'clock on Wednesday and 10 o'clock on Friday. And probably next week we'll come back at 10. Again, my name's Frank. This is Candid Frank Live. We hope you enjoyed the program. I enjoyed being or playing my small part in it.